Welcome to the Northern Affinity podcast with me, Michael Edwards. So I'm the founder of the Northern Affinity, and in this podcast I will be speaking to our carefully chosen partners about their skills, their knowledge and experience. In this, the first series, I'll be using a number of live videos that we recorded in the summer of 2020. As you will be aware, the world is such an uncertain place at this time, and we decided to use our platform on social media to share the knowledge and experience of our partners, and we are now doing this in podcast form. We strongly believe that sharing knowledge with others in your community is the right thing to do, and we can all learn from each other. I'm sure you will agree, nobody can do business alone. So during this podcast, I may reference questions that were asked on our social media accounts. So in this week's episode, I spoke to Rebecca Roberts from Saldi Business Development. Rebecca is a sales doer. Saldi work with businesses who need an outsourced sales function. And so many people I've come across will agree with this, that sales is often one of the least favourite jobs of any business owner. So in this chat, we will talk about the work that Rebecca and her team do, and also the benefits of outsourcing this function of your business. I hope you enjoy the discussion. Hi there, everybody. Welcome to another live here on the Northern Affinity pages. As ever, we're on our LinkedIn page and across on Facebook as well. I do know that a number of people watch these afterwards, so probably it might be on our YouTube page or the website, wherever. So obviously, welcome to everyone who's joined us. As ever, if you've got any questions or comments, if you are watching it live, you can put it in the comment box. I know last time we did, there was a few problems with the comments coming through, so hopefully if they do come through this time, so please do put them in. If you are watching afterwards, the recording, again, if there's any questions you want to ask, and I'm sure between myself and Rebecca, we'll go back and we'll more than happy to answer them online or in whatever way that you need to. So I'm delighted to say I'm with Rebecca here today. We're going to talk about outsourcing sales for your business, because that's very much what Rebecca does. Now, obviously, I don't want to steal your thunder, Rebecca, so I'll actually hand it over to you, and you can actually explain a bit more about you and what you're doing, and then we'll jump into some questions.
Thank you, Michael. Hello, everybody. I've been in sales for 30 years. And I was recently furloughed and I knew redundancy was looming, so I launched out doing freelance sales. Over the years, I've sold a variety of different, mostly services, but some products as well. So bringing together all that experience to help companies, a variety of companies, instead of just being committed to one company. So the business launches officially on the 1st of September, so it's still really new. But I'm also already working with four associates spread around the country. So our combined network, just our LinkedIn connections, ranges to over 100,000 contacts. So in terms of promoting products and services, we've got a really good audience to go to. Do you want me to keep talking about it? Shall I just...
If you want to, Rebecca, go for it.
Yeah, just tell me when to shut up. So in terms of outsourcing sales, the benefit of really of having an outsourced sales team rather than employing your own, firstly, that word employment, so it means that you're not committed for the long term. So the typical cost of employing one salesperson is in the region of £40,000. And that's before you take into account all the costs around that, from holiday pay, sick pay, national insurance, expenses, so buying them a car, a laptop, a phone, and of course in managing them. So the benefits of outsourcing is that you get a ready-made sales team. We've all got a really good track record, and so we're ready to hit the ground running. You can spend a couple of days familiarizing us with your product or service, and once we work with you, you can switch us on or off really when you need us. So reasons for needing an outsourced salesperson could be that you are launching a new product or service, so you just need a boost in the beginning. It could be that we're coming out of this hideous situation and heading straight into a recession, so you know it's going to be tough, there's no doubt about that. And maybe I'm crazy setting up a business in this climate, but I've done it, so it's too late. And if I can't sell it, nobody can. So, yeah. So that could be another reason. It could be that you've got bogged down with too many leads and you just need help in following them up. Or it may be that you just hate sales and you just don't want to do it. So recently I've been doing a website for the business and I spent all last weekend doing it, and it was blood, sweat and tears. It was just, I was hating every minute of it. And I did it, and then Sunday night at 10 o'clock, when I'd worked all weekend, I broke something. So Monday morning, I rang someone up, £125, and he sorted it. Well, if I'd known that on Friday, I could have had a weekend. So sometimes you just need to think, well, look, that's not what I'm really good at, so let me give it to someone who is. But you don't necessarily want to go through all the pain and expense of employing someone. So that's where outsourcing kind of really comes in.
Absolutely. I think it's, I mean, just talking generally about outsourcing, I think anybody who runs their own business will know that there's certain things that you have to do yourself, and there's certain things that there's a massive advantage to passing to other people. And I think when you're talking to business owners, you'll often hear about them outsourcing the website, as you say, or maybe the marketing. Even, you know, that virtually everybody will get an accountant, which is essentially an outsourced service. But outsourcing sales is probably less done by people. And it's really interesting. I mean, as you know, and maybe some people know, watch this, I have a background in sales myself, but when you speak to a lot of business owners, they don't like the sales part of thing. They are brilliant at what they do. They are fantastic at building a website or using marketing, but they don't enjoy the sales side. So it's a surprise, really, more people don't look at that. But then again, I don't think there's that many people out there doing it. You may have found something different, Rebecca, but less people doing it.
It is. It's a funny thing because, you know, when it's your own business, it's very difficult to kind of admit to yourself or to other people that actually you don't like sales, because, you know, people would typically say, well, that's the life of blood of your business. You've got to do sales. But if you don't like it, and also you can be so close to it. I remember a few years ago I worked with someone who was in contract cleaning, and every single no he took so personally, and I ended up being more of a counsellor to him, really, because he'd bring me up, oh, they don't want it, oh, they'll never want it, oh, I can't, you know. And actually, don't put yourself through that. Just tell us what you want, give us what you've got, and we'll go away and make it happen for you. And equally, you know, we're really happy to work with you. So I am by no stretch a trainer. I know brilliant sales trainers. That's not what I do. And neither am I a consultant. So I'm not going to come in and, I can't remember that phrase, but it's something like sell you a pen and then borrow it back to, I don't know how it would go. You know what I mean? So we do the doing. But alongside that, if it's just that you want us to work alongside you for a couple of months, maybe to get you some leads warmed up and then work with you in terms of following them through, then that's another possibility as well.
Absolutely. I mean, one thing with sales, as you know, there's obviously lots of different areas of sales and lots of different parts of the process. So for you, you know, what bits do you enjoy the most? What's the thing that you enjoy doing?
Well, I have been told not that long ago, actually, that I'm a hunting salesperson. So, you know, I'm not keen on the phrase, but they say like hunters and farmers. So hunters kind of go out there and look for the leads. Farmers are more sort of into developing it going forward. Now, if I was a business person that didn't like sales, then the hunting is probably the worst bit, because it's that initial door opening. And I actually love that. I got a kind of hint of a lead the other day, and someone wanting to get into big plumbing companies. And within a couple of hours, I'd identified sort of the buyers in all the major plumbing supply businesses. I've sent LinkedIn connections. I've got their emails. And then I was on such a high doing that. So I love the chase. I love the hunt. I love the introduction stage. I love that initial door opening. And then I'm kind of quite happy to pass it on then for someone else to take forward, really. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, because I think you're quite right. I think if you spoke to a majority of business owners, that's the bit they don't enjoy. I think that's absolutely spot on. One thing I'm always intrigued by is actually the word sales. I think it
you know, it's a bit of a dirty word sometimes. It has some negative connotations. It's kind of going back to that, you know, the traditional stereotypical car salesman type of approach. Now, as we know, that in the kind of, especially in the business to business world, services, that's, you know, that's not a thing. It's a very different way of doing it. So do you think that people see, one of the things is they don't really talk about the word sales, you know, that business development is always used, isn't it, as a phrase?
Well, that's interesting, because my business is called Taldi, and then I've put business development. But the first instance of my business, I wanted to call it Beck Sells, as in sex sells, Beck Sells, because but I got a few raised eyebrows about that. So that's my blog. But you're absolutely right. And, you know, there have been historically a few industries that have kind of given it that bad name, and deservedly, really. And I was very conscious when setting up freelance that I am going to have to be really careful not to come across as that sort of traveling salesman that comes along and opens his jacket up and says, do you want to buy a watch or a pen or a, you know, you've got to be careful, and also not to sort of go and upset all my contacts by coming to them with something different every week, because that's not how it works. It's all about sort of using your networks. But I definitely take a really consultative approach to sales. So, you know, when you're approaching the sales process, the people that you approach have got to have a need, because if they don't have a need, they're never going to buy. So I would initially start with ascertaining, you know, do you have a need? And if you do have a need, then that the door's open, and then you can talk about if our solution is the right solution, but or our client's solution is the right one. But it's very much a consultative approach. It's, and in my old days when I was in hotels and conference sales, one of the things we had to do was go and have a competitor, sort of, we had to suss out the competition. So we'd go along and have a show round. And so there I was through the door, potentially wanting to buy. And what always staggered me, and I think we can take this forward into lots of other industries, is how people started to sell the minute I walked through the door. So we'd set off and we might be looking at a conference center hotel that had maybe 10 rooms. And what they'd do is they'd set off, march around the property, showing us 10 different rooms, when actually, you know, I had a little training course for 5 people. So I didn't need to see the ballroom that sat 250. And I didn't need to see 7 different types of bedrooms, because it was just for a day conference. And I think if you just sort of hold that in mind, really, when you are approaching a sale, is before you even begin to sell, you've got to find out what they want, because that way throughout the process you are then fulfilling their needs, and it's all about getting them to agree with you, because you're and they're in their head, they're then imagining, well, that'll solve that problem, and it'll solve it like that, and it'll make my life easier, and it's not too expensive, and because that's my budget, and she knows what my budget is. So as long as you kind of, it's just all about qualifying at every stage of the process. And at the end of the day, if somebody doesn't want to buy something, there's a reason why, either because they don't need it, they don't want it, they're the wrong target. And I think in that respect, it's really worthwhile doing your research in advance. It starts way before you're sitting in front of the prospect. Yeah.
Well, strange enough, the next question I was going to ask you was a kind of advice for people, whether it's, you know, people who are signing up their own business who maybe haven't done much sales in their life, or people just starting in the sales jobs. I think obviously you've covered a bit of it there, and is kind of that, you know, asking the right questions. But I think my experience, and please correct me if you think any differently, is asking the questions is one thing, is listening to the answers is the other. And not just taking the answers that you're hoping or wanting or expecting to hear. Which I think we all do to an extent. I think it's natural sometimes to do that. But is there anything else that you can kind of, any hints and tips for people in sales?
So absolutely, as we've just said, again, it's research. So it's almost, in fact, it's definitely more important, the work you do before you pick the phone up or go to the meeting is more important than probably what's going to actually happen in the meeting, because it means that you're going to turn up either to Zoom, phone call or meeting prepared. And that preparation includes knowing about the company, it includes knowing what their need is and why you're sitting in front of them. I think if one thing has happened in the last few weeks, it's that people are not going to meet for no reason. So I've been to meetings before and I've sat there and thought, what am I actually doing here? And also, worse still, they turn it round and start selling to you. Mm-hmm. And that's why they've agreed to see you. But I think that's less so now. But what I would say is that research, and research starts right back at the beginning. So research your market and then do some marketing to engage with that market so that you're actually reaching your target market, which will help you to generate more warm leads. So inquiries, because that's much easier than picking up the phone cold. And then once you've got that sort of secured that meeting appointment, then go prepared with your research. And then finally, and this is where some people can fall down as well, is the follow-up. Because you might go and have a really good meeting with them, but then if you're not keen on sales, then you're kind of thinking, oh, I've got to get on to the next one now, you know, and you've done, I've done that. But actually, have you done it? Have you followed it up properly? Have you done what you'd said you'd do? Have you sent them the follow-up? And then the next stage after that, again, is follow it up again. So if you don't hear from them, unlike my cleaning contract company, don't assume they don't want you. They're probably just busy. Something else has come up. And they do say 7 touches before a sale. So, you know, if you imagine that maybe a couple of those have been beforehand, that means potentially you've got 5 goes at following it up. And I don't mean ring them every day for 5 days until in the end they block your number. That's just annoying. But you can use all sorts of different methods. And I don't want to encroach on everybody else's kind of areas, but you know, you can engage with them on LinkedIn, you can send them an email, you can like their Facebook pages. Just keep front of mind and spread it out, you know, over a reasonable time frame. You might be desperate to make that sale, but they might not be desperate to buy it today. But it doesn't mean they never will. And actually, weirdly, in my last role, I picked up from a previous salesperson some leads. And the biggest sale I ever made, we'd been talking to them for 7 years. Now, that's a bit excessive. Yeah. So that really is. I'm not suggesting we work on that. But, you know, I just happened to pick the phone up one day and he said, absolutely, today is the day. You know, my need is urgent. Your pricing's right. Come and see me. I'm going to do it today. So you just never know. It might be that next phone call that you make where they say yes.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I mean, you kind of touched on it right at the start there, actually, about changes to what's, you know, in the sales world now after the last few months. Is there anything else that you think, like, kind of post-COVID-19 world, what the world of sales will change?
Drastically, I think. So I've been doing some calling for a company this week, and what I've realised is that nobody's in the office at all. They're all working from home or, you know, whatever. And so, you know, the gatekeepers are loving it because they're just saying, no, they're not here, you know, and send them an email. So you can't get a phone number. So what I would say about that is you're going to have to be creative about how you get in touch with people, because also if you do happen to get a mobile number, bear in mind that they're probably working from home. They might be stressed out with what's going on. So you're going to be approaching people in a very different situation. It's not like the old days where they were sitting in an office with a laptop waiting for the phone to ring. Now they could have, you know, they could have a rampant toddler around their ankles and just, you've caught them at the wrong time. So you just never know. So you've just got to sort of adapt to all that. And also just find more creative ways. Make sure that your emails are really spot on. So if you need to bring in a bit of design help or even some copywriting to make sure that your message is really strong, I think emails are going to be so much more critical at every stage of the process than they ever were before. And don't give up. You know, do not say, oh, COVID, that's it, my business is over, I'll never sell anything ever again, because you can't say that, because people are buying all the time. And okay, the economy is going to be difficult, but it's not going to end. So just stay strong, stay brave. Have good networks around you as well for support. I could use some real naff old sales phrases like every no is a step nearer to a yes. But yeah, I'd say just be creative and look at different ways of reaching your target.
No, absolutely. That's good advice. So just finally from me, Rick, if anyone wants to kind of get a hold of you, find out a bit more about what you do, where's the best places to do that?
Well, my website isn't live till the 1st of September officially. So initially, my email or my phone number or LinkedIn, it's all on LinkedIn, my email and my phone number. And I really like connecting with people. And unfortunately, a name like Rebecca Roberts, there's a few of us, but Rebecca Roberts leads, you'll probably get close. And or through Michael or...
Yeah, I was about to say, Rebecca, obviously we have all your details, and obviously if anyone wants to contact us directly, I'm more than happy to pass on relevant details and things like that so they can do that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that, Rebecca. Thank you for your time. Sure. Really, really interesting. I know you're doing lots of great work with lots of people, so that's really good to hear. So thank you, everyone, for watching. And yeah, thank you. Thank you for your time, Rebecca.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thanks. Bye.
Well, that's it for my discussion with Rebecca. I really hope you enjoyed it. As you can probably gather from the discussion, Rebecca does some fantastic work with her clients. I do know that she's helping so many companies to grow. All her details are in the show notes. So if you would like to find out a little bit more about Rebecca and the work she does, you can find it all there. We'd also love to hear from you. So if you could subscribe to our podcast, and also if you can rate and leave us feedback, we love to hear, and we're always looking to develop and grow this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about some of the discussions we've had previously, you can check out our YouTube page, which has a number of these on there. You can also follow us on various forms of social media. So we are on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we are on LinkedIn, and we are on Twitter. And I'd love you to connect with myself as well. LinkedIn's probably the best place for that. So if you search for Michael Edwards, The Northern Affinity, I'd love to hear from you about how you found the podcast. Also, if you would like to find out a little bit more about The Northern Affinity itself, we do hold all sorts of different events, which you'd be very welcome to join us on. We do even have a Getting to Know The Northern Affinity event, which will, I'm sure, answer many of your questions about what we do. So thank you very much for listening, and I hope you can join us next time.